things in your mind, and if there's some things that are not cleared up in your mind, well, go to the Holy Spirit. He's better than I am at explaining things, so He'll clear it up for you. So let's pray. Father, remove me, put me out of the way here this morning, Lord. I'm just going to try to respond to what You showed me this week. A lot of Scripture today, and we just believe that, Lord, You want to communicate and instill within us a faith for the things that You have promised us. Because, Lord, You're not a man that You should lie. And if You've promised something in Your Word, it's a done deal. We're the ones at fault, not following through to appropriate it. So, God, I pray today that we understand our role in answered prayer. In Jesus' name. So what does God's Word say about answers to prayers? Does He address it? And He does quite a bit. And I'm only going to give you some highlights. First of all, God gives us His Word that any prayer that you pray in faith. Now, we talked about faith last week, and I think we covered it pretty thoroughly, okay? So we're going to say it again. Any prayer that you pray in faith, and faith involves a number of things, right? It involves works. It involves believing. A number of things. Any prayer you pray in faith, based on His promises. If God's promised it in His Word to us, and you're praying, believing in faith, then it's up to you to appropriate it. Because God is not a man that He should lie. It will be, and it will. He will answer you, and it will be a yes. There's a promise of a yes every time. If you're praying in His will, if you're praying His will is His promise, if you're praying that way, God promises us, and He's either God or He's not, that He will answer us. 1 John 5:14 and 15. I'm just giving you Scripture. And this is the confidence which we have before Him as Christians. That if we ask anything according to His will, you could say it another way. His promises obviously are His part of His will, are they not? If we ask anything according to what He's already told us, He's promised us in the Word, He hears us. Wow. So we know that He hears us. Now, okay, great, He hears us, but what's the answer? And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, of course, according to His will, we know that we have the request which we've asked from Him. Wow. That's a pretty bold statement. That statement is surrounded by faith. You have to believe that you already have what you're asking for. When, you better remember this part, you are asking according to what He's already promised or declared in His will. You can't be asking for things that are not according to His promise and will and expect that yes answer. We're talking about right now Him hearing us, first of all. Thank God He hears us when we come to Him like that. But He says, I'm going to give you a yes every time you pray according to My will. I mean, you can be a theologian and argue that point and pull Scripture from everywhere else and stuff like that, but that's what God says. I believe it, it's done. So there's the first part of this. Based on His promises, you're going to receive. So the only way you're going to know it's going to be an absolute yes is if you've read this and you know a little bit about it and the conditions that go with it. Because some of His promises involve something for you to do. If you do this, then I will do that. So you can't just throw that promise up there and expect that God's just going to say yes when you're not meeting the conditions of that promise. Okay? Let's move on. Abraham understood this. That was 1 John. He didn't read 1 John because 1 John wasn't around. Neither 2 John nor 3 John. Same John, but he wasn't around. So God, obviously Abraham had to base his theology on trust. Faith in God's Word to him. And He did speak to Abraham. Wouldn't we all love to just, you know, I love the Bible, but I'd like to be able to do this and say, God, just give it to me straight. Yeah. And He can, and He does, but He loves faith. He bases everything on faith. Creation was based on faith. Abraham is based on faith. Moses is based on faith. In Christ, we're saved only by what? Faith. He loves faith. And so there's a book full of it. Trust it. He says, trust it. It's been written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you can't recognize that, you're toast anyway. This is inspired, like Eric said. You can't look at creation. You can't look at the universe. You can't read pages of Scripture. You can't see all these different authors. You can't see it, all the prophetic words coming to pass over 6,000 years. All of that happening, and you can't say there's a God? You're a fool. if you don't look at all of the evidence that's already out there when he says, just look about you, just read my word. If you got to convince somebody there's a God, they just don't want to know. So Abraham understood this about God, even without 1 John. And he did not let his circumstances or time... Oh, this is a big tripper for us. We pray something and we have a time factor on it. But Abraham did not, obviously, let circumstances or years, even when they got to be 100. Well, you can't have babies when you're 100. The heck you can't. Not with God, all things are possible. He knew that. So he didn't allow circumstances or time to diminish his assurance that God always follows through with His promises. If He said it, it might be in the sweet by and by you get your answer. It might be when you're 100, or it might be tomorrow, or it might be immediately. But you can rest assured that if it's His promise, He said that if we ask according to His will, we will have it. And He promised Abraham the sand of the seashore as far as people were concerned. And here we are today. 4,000 years later, He's still got people being birthed into the kingdom because of faith. He's the Father of faith all the time. Romans 4, 20 and 21. Yet with respect to the promise of God, we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Abraham here in Romans. Paul's quoting him. What did he say about Abraham? He did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully assured. See, that's faith. Fully assured that what God had promised, what He had promised, He was able to do it. I don't care what it is. It could be going a camel through the eye of a needle. If God said that can happen, He can change the course of matter. He can shrink that camel. He can enlarge that needle. And there He goes. If He made you from the dirt of the earth, if He formulated the heavens and the universe and the stars and the sky, He can certainly grow a leg out, grow an arm out, fix your back, put a camel through the eye of a needle, leap over a wall. All these guys are just quoting things, and I know they're just metaphors, but the bottom line is what he's saying is God can move mountains in your life. Amen. And because God can move mountains, when Jesus left, he said, you know what? Because I can do it, I'm going to give you power and authority. Now you move those mountains. See, the faith that Jesus used to heal and deliver is the same faith he's deposited in you through the Holy Spirit for you to heal and deliver. Well, Pastor, what about prayers not associated with the promises of God? Okay, we better cover them too. What about prayers that are simply prayed in faith where Scripture says they will be granted to me? Well, if you pray this in faith, they're going to be granted to me. And these not, and you're not basing these on the promises of God. It might be a job that you need to get, or a car that you need to have, or some of those things. You know, not necessarily based on God's promises. But if you pray it in faith, it's kind of like a lot of these guys on TV that say, well, I'm believing for that $1 million, so I got to have it by faith. So is it just going to come? Well, let's see what the Word says about that. Okay? Prayers prayed in faith, where Scripture says they're going to be granted. And we read them and we question those, going, scratching our head. God says, I'm going to have what I asked for. Well, I would say praying in faith is praying according to the Word of God. So it doesn't matter your request, whether it's the pink pearl Cadillac or whether it's your job or whatever, stuff like that. It still needs to be prayed in faith. And if you're praying in faith, you're still having to have, if that's a need in your life, or if there's some purpose for that in God's plan for your life, then it's going to come your way. But it still needs to be prayed according to the Word of God. How do I know that? Because He gives me a definition of what faith is, praying in faith. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes, how does faith come? How do we get the faith in order to pray with? From hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So once again, when you're praying, you better know this, because God's only obligated to answer that prayer in the affirmative and say you got what you're asking for when it is according to His promises or it's according to His Word. Not everything in here is a promise. There's lots of other things in here, and we can have those things, but you better do it according to the Word of God. God bases everything upon His Word. Everything's upon His Word. He's not involved with your worldly stuff. If that happens, whatever. But He's not concerned with the worldly stuff. He's concerned with your plan and His purpose for your life. He didn't set you up here to have your own little kingdom and own little world of pleasure. And, you know, that's just not here for now. When we get to the sweet by and by, oh man, can we enjoy everything He's got there. So, Pastor, I would say that the Word of God is praying in faith. It is the will of God. We've often said that. The Word of God is the will of God. It is His nature. It is His character. We read about His nature and character in His will, in His Word. It is also His name. Remember when we did the study on what a name reflects? Eric McCarty, the word Eric has meaning. Scott, the word Scott has meaning. Maria, the word Maria has meaning. When they, the Hebrews, used to give names to their children, they did it according to whatever was being brought forth in their spirit about maybe prophetically what that person would become. And when it wasn't what it's supposed to be, God comes in like Abram. It wasn't Abraham, it was Abram. But He changed his name to Abraham because He wanted to label Abraham as to what he would be, a father of nations. So we know that when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying in His nature. We're praying according to His character. It's not just some formula, well, I just ask for this in Jesus' name. No, I'm asking for this in the name of, in the character of Jesus, in the nature of Jesus. And God, if it's not in His nature and character, I don't want it. So we know that praying in the will of God is praying in the Word of God. It's praying in the promises of God. It's praying in the character of God. It's praying in the nature of God. It is who He is. You cannot expect to receive that which you pray for when it falls outside of God's will for your life. When it falls outside of God's nature. When it falls outside of the family. God's not responsible. Then go ask your local physician or your insurance carrier or your whatever, guy working at Bilo, if you need something that badly, if it's outside of His nature. We go to our Heavenly Father when we go and we are praying according to His will, His nature, His character, His Word. That's what the Scripture details for us. But for this, to do it this way, you must trust the One who fashioned you in your mother's womb. You got to trust that He has a plan for your life. You have to trust that if you stick and you stay according to His Word, that irregardless of what you see and what circumstance you enter into, God is able to bring you through and grant you those promises and grant you those prayers that He knows, Father knows best. You might want this and go in this direction in this course for your life and be praying that way, and God's going, you're not even close. So when you get that no, or you know, you feel like God's not answering your prayer, can you trust Him enough to know that that's His best for you? Why wouldn't His Father? Of course He's going to give you what you're asking for if it's going according to His will. What father wouldn't? What father on earth would not grant, like it says in Scripture where Jesus said, why would I give you a snake when you're asking for a loaf of bread? But if you're asking for that loaf of bread so that you could go down to your local congressman and throw it at him, He's not going to give it to you. But if it's for a need for you to eat, He's going to give it to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That there are some things that we're praying for, we've got the wrong motivation, and God knows it because He's our Father in heaven and He knows all things. And He knows the outcome before you do. He can see 45 years ahead, that if you would have made that decision that you think is best and that you think is going to bless your socks off so you can bless everybody else's socks off, He sees in advance and goes, wasn't going to work out that way. Can you trust Him that much? Do you have a relationship with Him to be able to pray to Him and know that if you're praying in faith, you're going to get what you ask for? And if you don't, it's because that's what's best. That's real relationship. You got to trust the One who fashioned you in your mother's womb. Praying in Jesus' name is not a formula. It means praying in intimate. This is what when I looked it up in the Greek. In Jesus' name is an intimate union with Him. It is praying with oneness of heart and mind. So when you're throwing your prayer out, have you thought about Jesus before you threw it out and what He would want? Oneness and intimacy with Him to further the kingdom, to give glory to God, or is it going to give glory to you? Is it going to build your little kingdom and you just want it because you want it? This is the Word of God. Let's look at it. John 14, 13 and 14. Praying with oneness of heart and mind. Praying in intimate union. When we pray in Jesus' name, we pray in His character, we pray in His nature. So whatever you ask in my nature and character, in my name, in my will, in my promises, that I will do. So that you be glorified? You get what you want? No! Not that He didn't care what you have and want. He said all these things will be what? Added unto you. But you first got to be concerned about the kingdom and glorifying the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And we're in the Son, so we are therefore in one with Him. And when we're in one with the Son, we're in one with the Father. That the Father, the Son, and us must be one. So when we're praying according to God's will, word, character, nature, etc. If you ask me anything in my name, in my nature, I'm going to keep telling you this, in my character, by my promises, I will do it. But people take this as carte blanche. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm praying for this. I want a bigger house, and I've always wanted a bigger house. I've been obedient. I've been walking a walk. He didn't want me to have a bigger house. Well, maybe he sees 30 years down the road that bigger house is going to lead to bigger things, that you're going to be led outside the kingdom of God. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? John 15, 14 to 16. Next scripture. You are my friends if you do what I ask and command of you. Not ask, command. No longer do I call you slaves. See, we're not part of the kingdom of the darkness anymore. For the slave doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Right here. You didn't choose me. If I hadn't put my spirit in you, if I hadn't wooed you by the Holy Spirit, if I didn't design you with a void in you to want me, if I didn't put my faith in you to be able to have the faith to believe in me, you wouldn't be here to do that. See, God's given us the faith to believe with. He's given us the life to breathe with. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask of the Father, where we go again, in my name, in my nature, in my character, by my promises, according to my word, he's going to give it to you. That's a promise. We're going to get a yes when we pray in that way. We have to. John 16, 24. Another scripture. Here we go again. Because we read these and we wonder, why am I not getting my prayers answered? It's a good thing I'm praying for. There's plenty of good things you're going to pray for, but they may not be the most excellent, and they may not be according to the pattern and purpose for God in your life, for His will in you. You're not supposed to be the richest man in town. Somebody else is supposed to have that ministry, because money's not bad if you use it for God's glory. But it might not be you, because you might not necessarily use it all for His glory. But I want to be a pastor. I love preaching and teaching and stuff like that. But it's not His will for your life, because you're going to be more effective as an evangelist over in South America. You don't know that yet, but 10 years from now you will. So quit crying and complaining and moping and groping because I'm not answering your prayer. Do you trust your daddy? Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Now I think I get that. We're just a praying and we're asking for things without even considering whether it's in His nature, character, promises, will, and all that stuff. You've asked for nothing in my name, but ask. And if you ask in my name, implying ask in my name, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. It is like a power of eternity to you, eternity. It's true too. It is like a power of eternity to use His name. When He says use my name, it's like a power of eternity. I want you to think about that. It's praying on His behalf. If I were to ask you to use my name, I'm going to give you an example. If I were to ask you to use my name as clout in order to receive something, I would expect you to handle this as a privilege and a tremendous responsibility, since my name and my character and my integrity is at stake. Think about it. I refer Jacob for a job. He goes over there and does a poor job at what he does. I referred him. I thought you said that he was going to be able to do this job, and it's a tremendous responsibility to use somebody's name. If I allow you to use my name, I'm trusting that you're going to do and ask and operate by the principles that I would operate by. Otherwise, don't say I referred you. Say Gary referred you. No, I'm just kidding, Gary. Just kidding, Gary. You were sitting there. You're the first one I saw. I just said it. But you need to get this. But thank you. I receive it. But do you understand? When we pray in Jesus' name, there's an expectation of respect and honor. And we are a power of attorney. He's saying, you use my name, and it's as if I'm right there, and it's my desires and my wishes for you. That's how we're to pray. That's what prayer is all about, communicating with God spirit to spirit. Not because of your likes and what you want to Him. Now, sometimes you'll get those things because you've earned those things, you've bought those things, you've paid for those things, you'll get those things. But quit asking God for something that He may not necessarily be concerned with. Just go ahead and do it, and then use it for His glory anyway. But don't cry when He doesn't give you your candy. Because He knows that you're... Well, I'm not going to say it. Power of attorney. Power of attorney. Tremendous responsibility. The key, right here, is asking for that which God is willing to give us, which the Scriptures clearly reveal. I'll say it again. The key is asking for that which God is willing to give us, which Scriptures clearly reveal. And when we pray according to His will, He tells us to what? Don't do it timidly. If you're in my family and you're my son and I know you're walking in obedience and you know you're following exactly what it is and you're asking for something that's going to bless the neighbors because they have a need and you want to do that and you say, Dad, can I have this so that I can go over there and do this with? I'm like, why didn't you ask sooner? Well, I was afraid you might say no. Cole, come on in here. Oh, thank you. You're having my heart. Not only am I going to give you this, but after you're done here, here's 20 bucks. You go out and you get yourself something. That's how God works. He wants to bless you because when you're other-oriented, all these other things will be added unto you. Well, how did you know I wanted that, Dad? I just knew. Come on, I'm your daddy. I know exactly what you need before you ever ask. But because your heart was for this person over here to pray my will and my character and my nature for them and wanted to do that, not only am I going to give you the resources to go get that done, but here, you go lavish yourself on these. It's how we ought to be praying. He says, come boldly before His throne. When we pray. Ephesians 3, 11 and 12. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. What? What's His purpose? Verse 12. In whom we have what? We come with boldness. And what? Confident access. How do we come with confident access and boldness? Flippantly? Just coming into His presence anytime we want. God, give me this and stuff like that. No! Through what? Faith in Him. And what is faith? Faith is the Word of God. Faith is the promise of God. Faith is the character of God. Faith is the nature of God. When we're coming with that to our daddy, and we're coming with His nature and what He wants and stuff like that, He says, boldly march in here. You're getting what you asked for. Now go and be healed. Now go and get your money. Now go and get on that mission field. Now go. The centurion came. Jesus, ha, I know you got the authority to do this. And I'm asking for something that you already came here and promised. You said, hey, you can heal my servant. I believe you can do that. Will you do that? He said, I haven't seen such faith in Israel. Go, you got what you asked for. You came boldly. You knew what I had to offer. You accepted it. You believed it. It's already done. That's cool. It's cool. So we need to come with boldness. However... Oh, there's always a however. If we come with sin or iniquity, what's iniquity? It's the habit of sin. It's the tendency to sin. It's the sin that's passed down from our forefathers. It's the nature of sin. It's what we keep doing and we haven't resolved it yet. Sin is just the simple act of, okay, I go out, I do something wrong, you're disobedient against God, that's sin. But if I keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and even if it's passed down from the next generation, that's iniquity. It's just the continuance of the very sinful cycle that we started, okay? So what he says is here, you come with sin or iniquity in our hearts. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Thank God for repentance, and we can still come to God in prayer, and He's going to give us what we ask for. Thank God that Peter, even though he failed Him and denied Him three times, he still came back, he repented, and God restored him, and he was out doing all those things. Okay, we know that, right? But if we're coming with sin and iniquity in our heart, meaning, you know what? I'm thumbing my nose at you, God, and I'm going to continue to do that because I just don't feel like doing what I want to do with you. I know you've told me to do this, God, but I'm just going to hold off. I'm going to stick to my agenda. He says, when you come with sin and iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. So now we're coming to the part of prayer. I just told you, you're going to get what you ask for if you're according to the promises, right? But now if we come and we have sin and iniquity in our heart, He's not even going to hear you. How do I know this? I'm giving you Scripture. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear. Smart man, David, wasn't he? Proverbs, let's go to his son, Solomon, wisest man in the world, 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, in other words, righteousness, in other words, the right thing to do, in other words, obedience, even his prayer is an abomination. Whew. Well, now I know more about the character of my father. He's full of grace and mercy. He's loving, but he's also just. And he also still hates sin. And when you come with sin in your heart, not the fact that you're sinning, because, you know, we all fall sinning short of the glory, but when we come with sin in our hearts and we start praying these prayers, oh, God, bless me, and you're coddling sin and you want it in your life and you're not grieving over it, you're not repenting over it, he says, yada, yada, da, 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 I don't hear you. Sorry, can't commingle with sin. I'm holy. I can't live. I'm not inviting that in my house. There are some things that are just unavailable to us when we are out of proper alignment with God. Just the way it is. When you're entertaining and you've given permission for these demons to come and oppress you, they can't possess you because you're God's possession, but they can oppress you. They can make your life miserable because you've given them what? You've given them liberty to come in through your disobedience. And there are just some things that are unavailable to us when we're walking in a state of iniquity and sin that God is just not going to bless you with. I wouldn't give the car keys to my son when he's walking in rebellion to me. Give him a good whooping. But I didn't pray for that, God. No? Have you heard yourself on Sunday morning? Shape me, mold me, use me, do whatever you got to do to me, Lord. Discipline me, but get me right. I don't think you understand what you're praying when or singing when you say that. Correct me, Daddy, when I need to be corrected. I like rebuke. It purifies me. It shapes me and molds me into the image of my Savior. I don't like it. But I thank Him for it, because all things work together for good to them that love Him. He's shaping us to be kingdom characters. Soldiers in His army, ruling and reigning with Christ forever. What do you think that's going to detail? You can't just take a soldier and throw that armor on him and throw those weapons on him and just no training whatsoever, throw him out there in the middle of the field and say, okay, go fight that war. Can't do it. Can't do it. So now, some things are unavailable to us. Still yet, there are times when our Father knows best when we can handle an increase, such as riches or favor. And when, of course, humility and surrender must be fashioned in us. See, He knows when we can handle the increase. But He also knows when He needs to humble us. And He wants yieldedness out of us. We're just not yielding ourselves, and He knows that. But He loves us so much. Then we're praying for certain things that go along with increase. Well, then there's times when we pray that there's going to be prayers that are prayed that are going to come some answers in the form of humility and surrender. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to me. You can venture out on your own and pray for things without involving Jesus in your prayer. You don't have to pray in Jesus' name. But your access to the Father is through Christ. So praying in your own accord, not in the character in the name of Jesus, is pointless in my opinion. You can pray Him. Pray all day long for stuff that's outside of His character and will and purpose and plan. But it would be pointless. But rest assured that when we humbly come before the Father in Jesus' name, with a humble heart, a right heart, a repentant heart, if we're in the midst of sin, He hears us. If we come with the right heart, doesn't mean we're sinless. Means that we can still be sinning, but it's not in our heart. It's in our heart to do right. It's just that our hands and feet haven't kind of caught up to that yet. But my heart is right. So now I repent and say, Lord, I'm turning from the very thing that I'm doing that I really hate to do. I'm sorry for what I did. Peter denied Him 3 times. Lord, I'm sorry. I turn from that, Lord. I'm turning towards faith. We know that God, we've already discussed that. Here's us, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And my people who are called by my name, here's His name again, humble themselves. Boy, that's humility's huge in the kingdom. Humble themselves and pray. So we know we're praying again now in humility, like I just said, in repentance, in humility. And they seek my face. You want to be with them. You want to talk to them. You want some answers. Oh, but here's another one on my part again. And we turn from our wicked ways instead of continuing in them. Then I will hear from heaven. Not only will I forgive their sin that they're currently involved in, I will heal their land. I will answer your prayer. I will grant you your circumstance. I will bring deliverance to you. I will whatever. Come with humility. Wow. Daniel 10, 12 and 13. And then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart..." Do we see our hearts involved with everything that God writes? Thank God He measures us by our hearts and not by our hands and feet. Oh, Lord, we'd all be in trouble. "From the first day you set your heart on understanding this and on..." Oh, humbling again. "Humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard." See, He hears us when we humble ourselves and we repent. He hears us when we come according to His nature and character. When He doesn't hear us is when we're walking in sinful rebellion. "Humbling yourself, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." Oh, but, here's a little bit on some timing with our prayers, okay, folks? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, it's a metaphor, folks. He's talking about evil demon beings. It's a metaphor for the demon being. "Was withstanding me." Here's an angel speaking to Daniel. "God heard your prayer, dispatched me to grant your prayer, and on the way these demons met me." The kingdom of Persia, he uses that as that metaphor. "Was withstanding me for 21 days. He dealt with that demon. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, said, 'Enough's enough of that. Daniel has prayed. He's waiting. He's getting a little bit tired. He knows he's walking in obedience. I'm going to go down there and take care of business.' Came and he helped him. And came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Here's this angel going, Michael, I need a little help here. Okay? I know I can handle it in a time, but, you know, it's been 21 days. Come on. This is real stuff. This is warfare. This is spiritual warfare going on your behalf. God dispatching angels. I'm telling you right now, those angels go down there, they're fighting for you every day when you're in God's will and nature and character. But there's timing involved. There is warfare. God, for whatever reason He has these demons and Satan hanging around for a little while longer until some more come to faith. Then He'll take care of them. Like this. Won't take 21 days. It'll take about, I can't even tell you. There's no time period on that one. That was boom. He'll just do it. So here we go. Now, what you see, here's what I wrote. Be patient. You throw that prayer up there and you're expecting an answer right then and there. Sometimes you can get it right then and there when there's not a lot of resistance. But sometimes there is resistance in the heavenlies when you pray those prayers. And you know what? Be patient with God. Days like 1,000 years to Him. Right? Be patient. Trust Him. He's going to come through. Maybe not in your timing. Oftentimes the enemy tries to thwart us in accomplishing God's will, and the angels of God that are dispatched on our behalf encounter resistance. Revelation 8, 3 to 5. We've read this before. This is really cool. "Another angel came and stood at the altar." He's up in heaven holding a golden censer. "And much incense was given to him." And what's the incense? Prayers of the saints, that he might add it to the prayers of the saints. That's the incense. We raise our prayers up to heaven. There's an angel standing there at God's will, beckoning him, saying, "God, can I act on this one? Or what else is going on down there?" See, God knows the hearts of a man, but you know, these demons and these angels, I don't think they know the hearts of the men. It's only God that knows a man's heart. That's why if you don't say it out loud, if you're doubting or doing anything like that, or you know, if you're giving credit to the enemy and stuff like that, shut up. Don't say it out loud where the devil can hear you. He's an angel. He's not omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He can't read your mind. He can only respond to what he sees and what he hears. Your countenance, your words. And so here's the angel. He's up there. He said, "Okay, God, here comes the prayers of the saints upon this golden altar which is before the throne," verse 4. "And the smoke of the incense," the impact, the smoke that's generated from the prayers, "with the prayers of the saints, went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar. He filled it with the Holy Spirit power, and he threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake." You don't think your prayers have an impact? You don't think that God has angels dispatched on your behalf to take those prayers and to do what you're asking Him to do? But sometimes there's those demons that stand in the way, and there's a little collision going on, and there's fighting like in Daniel. But we win. It's as simple as that. We win. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which one of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet"? See, he said that statement to mankind, not angels. He's talking about angels here. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? We're the ones that are going to inherit salvation. Angels are sent as servants of God to minister to us. And they act on our behalf. And our prayers that are reaching heaven, that are in agreement with the promises of God, allow those angels that are standing like this, ready to draw their sword for you, to go into battle and action. And sometimes they're answered like that because there's no resistance in that particular arena. And sometimes it may take some time. But you can bet that God will hear you because we already established that. And you can bet that He's going to dispatch them if it's according to His will, and it will get done. But not maybe necessarily on your timing. Folks, the war has been won, thank you Jesus, right? But some battles still continue. It's been declared over, but there's still those skirmishes, right? And when we engage, again, when we are engaged in one of those battles, we must trust our Commander-in-Chief, Lord Jesus, to supply everything that we need to overcome. He said that He would. He said, "It's finished. It's done. I've taken back the keys. And now I'm giving them to you to go out and to take care of all the little battles that are going to be left until the final, final end when God declares it over all the earth." Philippians 4:19. "And my God, your God as well, shall supply all your needs." How many? All your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This includes angels when we need them. Hello? It includes health. It includes provision. It includes deliverance. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. All means all. All means all. Paul wrote this verse. Listen, Paul wrote this provision, this meeting all your needs in Christ Jesus. He wrote this verse of Scripture in response to the Philippians having met his needs. Letting them know that when you meet the needs of others, when you're Christ-like, when you're in His nature and character, and you're not concerned about yourself, and you're meeting the prayers of the others, some saints have some needs here, some saints have some needs here, and you're meeting their prayers that way, he says, God won't hesitate to meet yours. Did you get that? The Philippian church gave to Paul when he was in need. Paul writes back and says, "Hey, thank you for supporting me when no one else would. And in response to that, let me tell you something. God will meet all your needs in Christ Jesus. Because you had the nature of God. You had the character of God. You were other-oriented. He's desiring and wanting to do these things for you." That's powerful. Even, look, if you don't get it, even the Pharisees understood that obedience to God's will releases blessings, answers to prayers. Obedience to God's will. Even the Pharisees. Why? Let's read it. John 9:31. And one of the Pharisees' response: "We know that God does not hear sinners. But if anybody is God-fearing and does His will," in other words, he believes, but he's what? Now acting in the nature and character of God, "He hears them." So here's a Pharisee, as well as Jesus, as well as the disciples, teaching us that God hears our prayers, folks, when we come in His will, when we come in His character and His nature and His word. Do you get that? I hope you should get it by now. I've said it about 100 times. When we pray, listen, when we pay attention to the Word of God within us and bear fruit, God can't wait to answer our prayers. John 15, 7 and 8. He's up there like an excited daddy going, the devil, look! Look at Job over here. Have you considered him? He is obedient in all things. I've blessed him. He's got kids. He's got homes. He's got all this stuff. God was bragging about Job because Job was following the Word of God. But if we get too good, God might use us as an example to be tested, to show everybody else, hang in there. Because the payoff is worth it. Eternal rewards. But this is really what was going on. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this is my Father glorified. It glorifies God that you bear fruit. and so prove to be my disciples. He wants you as lights in the world. He can't wait to bless you. He can't wait to give you all the resources you need. He can't wait to give you everything that you're wanting and desiring and asking for. But then sometimes we're asking for all these things that have nothing to do with His purpose or plan for your life. You just want them. And it's not bad that you have them or get them or want them, and sometimes you can get them in your own strength, so do what you think you need to do. But just keep God first, and then all these things will be added unto you. Bear fruit. Acts 10:1-4. There was a certain man at Caesarea named Cornelius. You remember him, right? The centurion who was called the Italian cohort. He was a devout man. This is important. Read this part. Because here's why he got his prayer answered. He was a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, and gave many alms. Here he is ministering to others, to the Jewish people. And he prayed to God continually. I'd say that's a pretty good guy, huh? About the 9th hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who just come to him and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Hey, your prayers and alms have ascended as God to us a memorial before God. Look at that. Your prayers and alms have ascended to as a memorial before God. Oh my gosh. Wow. Why did it mean so much to God that his prayers and his alms have ascended as a memorial? If you go back to the previous verse, because he was devout, because he prayed, because he was other-oriented, because he was a giver, because he was acting in the nature and character of Christ. And here's God the Father going, that's a memorial to me. Give him whatever he wants. Send him Peter. He's been asking for Peter. He wants more. Send him Peter. Go ahead. Come on now, get it. God hears our prayers, folks. But there's some things we've got to do to get his attention, to please him, to get him to want to say, absolutely right now, get those angels out there. As opposed to, oh, I really want to answer your prayers. I love you just as much as you did before you were doing this kind of stuff, but I can't hear you right now because you're walking in direct rebellion to me. If you have aught with your wife or your husband, I mean, I haven't got this in this scripture and here and showing you that, but in the Bible it says, hey, if you're at aught with them and stuff like that, God says, First get right with your wife and your husband, then I'll come and I'll hear your prayers. There, I mean, there's just, whether you like it or not, because of grace and mercy, it doesn't eliminate the Word of God. He just gives us the chance to get it done right. Over and over and over again when we fail, grace and mercy gives us the opportunity to come back again and again and again. Say, forgive me, Father, for what I do. Forgive me, Father, for what I do. And He continues to give you a do-over, 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 do-over. That's grace and mercy. It doesn't say, oh, disregard this. You don't need it anymore. You have license to sin. You're saved. You're coming. It doesn't matter. What kind of God would do that? Doesn't even make sense in the natural, does it? God brings forth an abundant return to those who are devout, reverent, other-oriented, and prayerful. But if we upset them through our, again, listen, but if we upset them through our attitude, our actions, or rebellion, that's not the time to ask Daddy for the car keys. And don't forget that if God, who is outside of time, foresees a negative result coming from what you perceive as a legitimate request, can you trust him with a no? I'm going to say that again. Don't forget this. God, who is outside of time, he made time. He gave time to mankind, okay? He's in eternity. There is no time. He's outside of time. He can see before, after. He circles time. If he foresees a negative result coming from what you perceive as a legitimate request on your behalf, I'm doing everything I need to do, God, and I, according to this, I think I need to have it. It's according to your word, exactly the way it needs to be, and it's going to be very fruitful for my life. If the answer is a no, because if his promises are yea and amen, and he's not a man that he should lie, can you trust him that what he sees that's ahead of you will not be for your greater benefit? It will only serve to tear you down. That's faith. That's an intimate relationship with God. That's trust. That's being able to pray and know that your God hears you. And when he comes back with a yes or a no, or it's going to take a little time, there's a little warfare going on, you're okay with that. You're going to praise him in the storm. You're going to give him all the glory and credit, whether or not you think or what you think or how you think. You're just going to say, God, you're sovereign. You know it all. I just trust you with it all. That's a Christian that is mature and understands God's word. and is being a great example in those particular situations. I never said it would be easy, but I am just giving you what the Word of God says will lay it out plainly for you and how to get it done. So can you trust the author of time with the progression of your request? Ooh. Can you trust the author and finisher of our faith? Can you trust the author and finisher of time with the progression of the prayers that you're praying and in a time frame in which they need to be answered? Just a question. Father God loves you and always, listen, always knows what's best for your life. Trust Him, and here's one huge last key as I close. Trust Him without complaining. Trust Him without complaining. Philippians 2. For it is at God who is at work in you. Did you know that? God's at work in you. Both to will, listen to this, both to will and not just show you His will, but to help you work it out. And to work for His glory, for His good pleasure. It's not for you. God's at work in you so that He'll progress His kingdom and you'll become part of the army who's going to rule and reign with Christ forever. He's shaping and molding you now, not for your own kingdom and glory, but to benefit His kingdom and glory and forever. Otherwise, He wouldn't have created us. He didn't do it for you because you're king. He's king. And He wanted those that would come right alongside of Him and be able to minister the gospel the way He would minister the gospel. So you're in training. You're not in paradise yet. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Can't do that without trusting God. Can't do that without trusting God. The minute you grumble or complain, you're not trusting God. Think about it. Does He know your life? Does He know every hair on your head? Does He know? Can He stop somebody? I told you the story about my wife and I when we were going down in our car and I was walking into a 7-Eleven or whatever they're called, you totems. That's back, way back, okay? Maybe they were called, I don't know, what are the hot spots now? Walking straight in, put my hands on the door, went in there, walked up to the counter. I was at the counter paying for this thing. My wife's sitting in the car on our trip down to Florida, and there she sees a guy with a trench coat, and there's a rifle inside his trench coat. And he has his car parked. It's still running. It's out at the gas pump, and he's up to the front glass of that store, and he comes up to the front glass of that store, and he's getting ready to open it, and he stops. And there's no police around, nothing around, but he's looking around as if he sees angels. My wife is over there in the car. She sees me right up there at the counter. She knows what's about to happen if there's no intervention. And she immediately goes into prayer and lifts that up into the heavenlies. And she says, Father God, thwart that person who's about to do evil. And she said, he cracked that door open, all of a sudden started to shake and shudder, shut that door, went back to his car, and he took off. I'm just telling you right now, your hairs are numbered. Your days are ordered. He knows you as in the palm of His hand. He's outside of time. He's seen your beginning and your end. He knows you. And there will be nothing that will thwart you should you agree with God that can come into your life that will change the plans that God has for you. The only one who can do that is you. You can thwart yourself by refusing to follow God's plan for your life. And if God's so good, He's still going to get it done, but He may use somebody else instead of you because He's given you a free will. But can you trust God that long? Last scripture, be patient, folks. Be patient. You are His child. Trust Him. He's the perfect daddy. He's not the daddy that's out on weekends. He's not the daddy that comes home, puts his feet up on the thing and says, feed me. He's not the daddy that didn't take you and want to have fun with you. He's not the daddy that won't counsel you or nurture you when you need nurturing. He's not the daddy that's off working so much that you never see him. He's not that kind of daddy. He's not a man. He's God. He's ever concerned about you. He's waiting for you at 5 a.m., 4 a.m., 3 a.m. He'll sit on the couch with you anytime you want to do. He'll discuss the plans of your life anytime you want to. He loves to hear you love all over Him and praise Him and worship with Him. He's there 24/7, 7 days a week, should you decide you want to fellowship with your daddy. You are His kid. Be patient. He loves you. Trust Him. Last scripture, 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? That's my God. So can you by worrying change a blessed thing in your life? No, you can't. Thank you. You can't. You really can't, can you? You worrying isn't going to change your circumstance. Instead of worrying, here we do. Here's what we do. Apply your energy to the study of God's Word and the application of it. God guarantees that He will hear your prayers and reward you accordingly. Just spend time with Him and get to know your daddy.